Good morning, Chelvest and Caldecott and Chelston Rise. It's Friday, the 22nd of May, and this is Adrian Dale with the Daily Podcast. So here is the forecast for the bank holiday weekend. The weather will be generally warm and sunny with no rain forecast, and it'll be the nicest late May Day bank holiday for several years. So the beaches will be full, the beauty spots overrun, garden centres will be heaving, and DIY stores will sell out at barbecues. Baps, burgers and beer will all sell out at the supermarket as England decides to have a good time this weekend with their family, friends and neighbours. But of course, they'll all use the now hackneyed phrase, socially distancing, of course. So here is the forecast for 2 weeks' time. It'll be the second coming. No, not the one that Michelle and the team are hoping for, but the second wave of virus infections across the UK. Now, some would say I'm being a sensationalist party pooper, but the evidence is on my side. Lynn and I track two different pieces of health data independently. She uses the COVID-19 symptom tracker to plot the numbers of people currently with self-reported symptoms in the UK. On the 12th of May, this had steadily fallen to 240,000 currently infected people. But since then, it has climbed almost every day. Yesterday, 279,000 people reported current symptoms consistent with COVID-19. So that's 36,000 more people who are potentially infected than they were 10 days ago. And all of that just 2 weeks after the VE Day celebrations. Now, I track the number of confirmed new infections in Northamptonshire each day. 10 days ago, these were running at 10 to 15 additional cases reported each day. But they're now running at 25 to 30 new cases a day. I issue the graph each day on the daily newsletter, and the trend is just obvious. Infection rates in Northamptonshire have doubled in 10 days. But yesterday, the government proudly announced that the number of people seriously ill with COVID-19 had fallen below 10,000 for the first time since the peak in early April. And the Office of National Statistics said that they expected COVID-19 not to be appearing on death certificates within the next 6 weeks. Something clearly doesn't stack up. Are infections going up or down? They can't be doing both. The problem with this virus is the time lag between the initial infection and the untimely death. It can actually be weeks. Now, most of the people seriously ill in hospital today are those who've contracted the virus early during the lockdown period. And since then, the lockdown has been effective and fewer people have been hospitalised. That's indeed great news. It's also great news that the clinically most vulnerable people are now shielding themselves. So even if the virus does have a second wave, you would hope that these people are much less likely to catch it. But nevertheless, the evidence is strong that infections are on the increase again in spite of lockdown and in spite of social distancing. Surely people aren't breaking the rules in such large numbers so as to completely overturn the progress that has been made. Now, I've spoken briefly about this before, but in my view, the government has a seriously flawed strategy for dealing with this virus. Every step of the way, we've had knee-jerk reactions to the latest, often conflicting scientific advice. 1 minute it's business as usual, but please wash your hands, and the next minute we're in lockdown, except of course that huge numbers of people weren't. 1 minute there's no evidence that masks are of any use, and the next, masks are being advised for anyone on public transport, in confined spaces, or where so-called social distancing is impossible. So let's look at this concept, shall we? Where did this 2 meter rule come from? Well, first of all, not everyone agrees on the distance. The World Health Organization says 1 meter is sufficient, and so do France and Italy. Germany and the Netherlands have settled on 1.5 meters, and the USA has settled on 6 feet, which is now 1.8 meters in new money. But the UK and Spain have settled on 2 meters. So where did these figures come from? Embarrassingly, they came from a widely quoted study from the 1930s that said droplets from coughs or sneezes would evaporate or fall to the ground within 1 to 2 meters. And believe it or not, government advisers in the USA and Europe used this study to set their social distancing rules, each just decided on a different threshold for risk. However, recent studies using high-speed photography showed that coughs and sneezes and even talking release aerosols of tiny virus-carrying droplets which travel 4 to 8 meters, especially if the infected person is not wearing a mask. Now, if you remember, several weeks ago, I was sceptical about the 2-meter rule and suggested that 3 to 4 meters would be safer in this village. Now, I sincerely apologise for my mistake. I should have said 6 to 8 meters, to be sure. But then again, I'm a grass cutter, not paid to advise the government or to make decisions. And then the latest revelations all about the time of exposure. Apparently 2 meters is only statistically safe outdoors if you spend just 15 minutes near someone. More than that, and the infected droplets will start to build up in the air and drift towards you. So how many of you have queued 2 meters apart at the supermarket for more than 15 minutes, thinking you were as safe as houses? But think about it, you know this is true. How many times has a girl wearing too much perfume passed you in the street? They're surrounded by a cloud of perfume mist which follows them around and lingers. And the same is true of heavy smokers, or even worse, someone with bad BO. All of these smells travel much further than 2 meters. So how is our government continuously making these mistakes? The problem is that none of our elected officials leading this epidemic has a scientific or medical education. Old Boris studied classics in ancient philosophy, Matt Hancock philosophy, politics and economics, Michael Gove studied English, and Dominic Raab studied law. They wouldn't know one sound piece of scientific advice from another. Officials and advisers are no better. Dominic Cummins was a historian, Mark Sedwell an economist. But surely they have scientific advisers. Yes, but these don't always agree, because real-world science can be confusing. What was needed was a group of disagreeing scientists and military strategists to be meeting continuously to thrash out well-argued options. Our political leaders could then have selected the most appropriate way of managing our risks, based upon the arguments received. Instead, they've taken the advice from the latest person in the room and announced it to a press conference a few minutes later, effectively making up policy on the fly. So what should the people of Chelsea cum Corcord do this weekend? Well, here's my advice, take it or leave it. Number one, stay in the village if you can and don't invite anyone else to come here. Number two, recognise that you're not safe at a 2 metre distance with anyone from outside the village. A safe distance is a minimum of 4 metres. Number three, wear those masks if you leave this village or have anyone round. Your life and that of your loved ones may depend on it. So please stay safe this bank holiday. Thank you.